بسم الله، الحمد لله، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. ثم ما بعد، to proceed. Again, we are covering this book and in this series of lectures. Muhammad As If You Can See Him by Dr. Aed Al-Qarni. And today we are at the Prophet Muhammad's Zuhd, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Page 47. So the author says that Zuhd is an often misunderstood term. People sometimes have either excessiveness or superficial understanding of the term. So it's either excessive or superficial. Some people take it to an extreme. And some people think that Zuhd is basically to wear cheap clothes or to be abstemious or austere in your diet and things of that nature. But Zuhd is not simply that. In the Arabic language, he says that zuhd means, you know, zuhd, the one who practices zuhd is zahid, and that is the one who is abstemious and austere and self-denying in his lifestyle. In Islamic terminology, a zahid is someone who abjures the worldly pleasures and comforts for the sake of Allah. It's basically to abandon the worldly pleasures for the sake of Allah, or it is to forsake the worldly pleasures for the sake of Allah. So he says here that it is certainly expected that the Prophet ﷺ would be the imam and the leader of the Zahids, because this Zuhd is based on certain knowledge that this world is a fleeting abode. It's short. It is not worth sacrificing the hereafter. It passes by so quickly, and people in their younger age may not recognize this well, but as people get older, they have a better recognition of the shortness of this life. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called it a deceiving enjoyment, or the enjoyment of deception, mata' al-ghurur. So it's very deceptive. And as people grow up, when you reach like 50 or 60, you will think about your 20s and 30s as if it was yesterday, and you'll feel that time went by so quickly. So people who do truly understand the nature of this life, they keep their eyes focused, and as he says here, the Prophet ﷺ kept his sight focused on the hereafter, being very cognizant of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared for his believing slaves in reward. He understood that the more one possesses in this life, the more attached one becomes to this life. So the problem with having a lot of possessions in this life is not only that you will be busy acquiring, you will also be worried about losing. So it's not only the acquisition, because the acquisition could certainly make you distracted. It can certainly make you overwhelmed. Like the Prophet ﷺ said, "In Allah, لا يحب كل عتل جواذ مستكبر سخاب في الأسواق حمار بالنهار جيفة بالليل عالم بأمر الدنيا جاهل بأمر الآخرة." Allah does not like the boastful rough, obscene, loud person in the markets who is a donkey during the day and a dead carcass at night, like a, you know, like a dead piece of flesh at night. In other words, that he works so hard during the day like a donkey, so at night he's completely wiped out. There is no room for anything. There is no room for contemplation. There is no room for recitation. There is no room for prayer. There is not even room for his own family. So the people who have this excessive love for dystonia, they do have two different types of trouble: the trouble of acquisition and the trouble of protection and investment and you know, holding on to it, and also it makes them quite afraid of losing it. So they become coward and they become stingy with their status, their life, because they fear from losing their privileges. So that's an important meaning. One meaning is zuhud is not to be understood with excessiveness, and you also have to understand what it actually means. It means that you forsake this life, not just food and clothes, not just food and clothes. You forsake this, your status, you forsake your reputation, you forsake your relationships, you forsake your ambitions for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the other important meaning is the problem with the zuhd, or the problem with not being able to acquire this quality of zuhd, is the fact that you think that the hereafter is too distant, and you're consumed in this dunya. You think that this dunya lasts, and you think that the hereafter is too distant. When people think about death, they think that everybody else will die except them. Or that everybody else will die, you know, soon or at a young age except for them. And the reason is, the shaitan keeps on telling you that you, that's what you'll do in your 40, that's what you'll do in your 45, that's what you'll be doing when you're 55, that's what you'll be doing when you're 65. So you're always making calculations for yourself. And that is not a problem to make calculations, but the problem is to really be confident that you'll live to 65. Then he goes on to talk about the Prophet ﷺ being a zahid by choice, because the zahid is not the one who lack the means of living large. The zahid is the one who's zahid by choice, who is capable, but he chooses not to indulge in the pleasures or comforts of this life. But he's capable, because being incapable does not mean that you're zahid. It's when you are capable. That's why one of the Roman emperors said about Umar ibn Abdul Aziz radiallahu anhu, the true zahid is Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, when he was told of some monk or someone who had, you know, austere lifestyle and so on. He said the true zahid is Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, because he's a khalifa. You know, he was actually the sovereign of the greatest, largest, strongest empire of the time. And yet he led this self-denying lifestyle. So zuhud has to be a matter of choice. And then he goes on to describe some of the manifestations of the Prophet's zuhud or asceticism. He says here, at times at least a month would pass by without a cooking fire being ignited in his house. And in fact, Aisha said 1 month, one crescent, two crescents, three crescents, al-hilal, al-hilalan, وثلاثة الأهلة, meaning one crescent, like 1 month or two or three, would go by and the no fire would be kindled in the houses of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. And then when Urwa asked her what was your sustenance, then she said that aswadan, the two black ones, dates and water. Water is called black because dates are black. That's not uncommon in the Arabic language. So dates and water. It never occurred that he ate a satisfying amount of barley bread for three consecutive nights. That's also reported from Aisha radiallahu anha. Hadith that's reported by Muslim from Aisha radiallahu anha. ما شبع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من خبز شعير ثلاثة أيام تباع. The Prophet ﷺ has never eaten a sufficient amount of barley bread for three consecutive days. A satisfying amount of barley bread for three consecutive days. Then he goes on to describe his house. He says he would sleep not on a reed mattress, but on a makeshift bed that was made of straw. And Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu described the stay of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he abandoned his wives, when they asked him for a greater allowance, and he abandoned them for a month because they were asking for a greater allowance. And Umar ibn Khattab went to him, and then he said, فَدَخَلْتُ عَلَيْهِ فَإِذَا هُوَ مُطَّجِعٌ عَلَى رُمَالِ حَصِيرٍ لَيْسَ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَهُ فِرَاشٌ وَتَحْتَهُ وِسَادَةٌ مِنْ أَدَمْ حَشُوهَا لِيفٌ قَدْ أَثَّرَ الرُّمَالُ فِي جَنْبِهِ فرفعت بصري فلم يردها إلا ثلاثة أو إلا أهبة ثلاثة فقلت ادعو الله فليوسع على أمتك فإن فارس والروم قد وسع عليها وهم لا يعبدون الله فقال وفي هذا أنت يا ابن الخطاب إنما هؤلاء قوم عجلت لهم طيباتهم في الحياة الدنيا. That's a beautiful hadith. It's reported by al-Bukhari and Muslim. And Umar ibn Khattab says in this hadith that he walked into the place where the Prophet ﷺ stayed when he abandoned his wives. And alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah. He found him laying on a straw mat. He found him laying on a straw mat. Without anything between his body and the straw mat, without any cushion between his body and the straw mat. The straw mat showed marks in his body. And then he raised his head upward, and he found three pieces of parchment. Nothing else was there and around. So there was this straw mat, and then there were three pieces of parchment, or maybe water skins, that were there. So Umar radiallahu anhu said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bring about prosperity for your ummah, for Faris and Ar-Rum, the Persians and the Romans. They live in prosperity and they do not worship Allah. So the Prophet ﷺ said to him, أَوَ فِي هَذَا أَنْتَ يَا ابْنَ الْخَطَّابِ, or أَوَ فِي شَكٍ أَنْتَ, in a different report. يَا ابْنَ الْخَطَّابِ, are you in doubt, son of al-Khattab, or are you still there? Are you still thinking about this? Son of al-Khattab, those are people who had their good deeds advanced for them in this life. They had their good deeds advanced for them in this life. Inshallah, we'll finish when we return. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, salatu wassalamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa ala. Well, back to the prophet's asceticism, and we were talking about the incident when Umar ibn Khattab walked into his home when he abandoned his wives because they asked for a greater allowance. And we talked about the furniture in his home, which was like this one straw mat and those three pieces of parchment. One of the things that are important to say here is someone who, like the issue of polygamy, for instance, someone who is about the pleasures of this dunya, someone who is about that particular pleasure, would not abandon all of his wives because they asked for a greater allowance when he was capable of, you know, a lot more than what they asked for. Keep in mind that his wives are the mothers of the believers. So they were not asking for the luxurious life. But you would understand what they were asking for if you know what they were having. What they were having is 1 month and two and three would go by and they wouldn't have fire kindled in their homes. So they were just asking for something greater than this. And so for the Prophet ﷺ to abandon all of his wives for a month is certainly telling of his character. Someone who's really into, you know, the pleasures of, you know, having many women, that would certainly make sure that they're all comfortable or they're all pleased, and would also accompany that by, you know, having a lot of food and a lot of drinks and a lot of this and a lot of that. But that certainly was not the case. As attested to not only, you know, if you look at the history books, if you look at the testimonies that we mentioned in one of the first two lectures about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from Westerners and Orientalists about the asceticism of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and how he kept a very austere lifestyle even at the peak of his victory and glory. Then he moves on to talk about his house, and then he mentions that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam left his armor as collateral with a Jew, versus, you know, asking one of the Sahaba to help him. He left his shield as a collateral with a Jew, and the Prophet ﷺ in fact died while his shield was with the Jew because he wanted to borrow the dates. Upon receiving wealth, the Prophet ﷺ never hesitated to spend it all. And then he mentions here the story where those whose hearts are to be reconciled gathered around the Prophet ﷺ and wanted of the war booty of Hunayn. And the Prophet ﷺ said to them, وَالَّذِي بِنَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ by him in whose hands is my soul, لَوْ كَانَ عِنْدِي عَدَدُ شَجَرِ تِهَامَ نَعَمَ لَقَسَّمْتُهُ بَيْنَكُمْ. If I had cattle as many as the trees of Tihama, like a place that had, you know, enormous number of trees, I would have distributed them all, and then you will not find me a miser, a liar, or a coward. وَلَثُمَّ لَا تَجِدُونِي بَخِيلًا وَلَا كَذَّابًا وَلَا جَبَانًا. When the Prophet ﷺ died, he hardly left behind any material assets, but even what he left behind, he said that this would all go to charity, because he said, نَحْنُ مَعَاشِرَ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ إِلَى نُورَثْ مَا تَرَكْنَاهُ صَدَقَ. We, the prophets, are not to be inherited. Whatever we leave shall be charity. And then he mentions in page 50 here, the middle paragraph, he mentions live in this world as if you are a stranger. And then he mentions, so what do I have to do with this world? Verily, the example of me with this world is nothing more than the example of a man who takes a noontime nap underneath the shade of a tree and then gets up and leaves it. And then gets up and leaves it. He actually said this when the Sahaba commented about his austere lifestyle. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud reports that, this is reported by Tirmidhi from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, that he said that the Sahaba said to the Prophet ﷺ when they saw the marks of the straw mat on his body, why have you not told us? We would have brought you a mat, like a cushiony mat. And the Prophet ﷺ said, مَا أَنَا وَالدُّنْيَا or مَالِي وَالدُّنْيَا إِنَّمَا أَنَا وَالدُّنْيَا كَرَجُلٍ اسْتَظَلَّ تَحْتَ شَجَرَةٍ ثُمَّ رَاحَ وَتَرَكَهَا. What do I have to do with the dunya? My example with the dunya is like one, a man who takes a noontime nap underneath a tree and then he leaves it. One day, the Prophet ﷺ came out of his home and he found Abu Bakr and Umar out of their homes. You know this story. So he found them out of their homes and he asked them, what have brought you out of your homes at this time of the day? And they said, Al-Jua. And he said, وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ لَأَخْرَجَنِي الَّذِي أَخْرَجَكُمَا. By him and his hands is my soul. What brought me out is what brought you out of your home. Hunger. So he said, Quma, let's go. And he took them to one of the Ansar, and he did not find them at home. He knocked, he didn't find them. His wife was there. So he asked her, where is so-and-so? And then she said that he has given us water. And then, you know, then the Ansari came, and the Ansari said, picked up the clues. I mean, some people don't, pick up the clues, but the Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum were smart. So he picked up the clues and he said that there is no one who has greater guests today than I do. So he got them dates, and so they started. They ate from the dates, and then he grilled a goat for them and fed them. And then at the end, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to Abu Bakr and Umar, لَتُسَأَلُنَّ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ عَنْ هَذَا النَّعِيمِ. You shall be asked on the Day of Judgment about this na'im, or this luxury. So Abu Bakr and Umar certainly followed in the footsteps of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam thereafter. There is a hadith here in which the Prophet ﷺ said, the world is cursed and everything in it is cursed except for the remembrance of Allah, for good deeds that Allah loves, for a scholar and for a student. الدنيا ملعونة ملعون ما فيها إلا ذكر الله وما والاه وعالم أو متعلم. This world is cursed and everything that's in it is cursed except ذكر الله, the remembrance of Allah, وما والاه, and the deeds that he loves, Allah loves, وعالم ومتعلم, and a scholar and a student. Well, this hadith, you know, someone may say that this hadith teaches negativity about the world. Well, it doesn't, because what Allah likes is all the good deeds. All the good deeds Allah likes. And of the good deeds, what the Prophet ﷺ said, you know, the hadith is reported by Ahmad and Tabarani, إذا قامت الساعة وفي يد أحدكم فسيلة فإن استطاع ألا تقوم حتى يغرسها فليفعل. If the hour approaches and one of you has a seedling in his hand, let him, if he can't, plant it before the hour rises. So to plant a tree is a good deed. Even though it's not prayer, it's not fasting, but it is still a good deed. But it depends on your niyyah, it depends on your intention from planting the tree and your intention from all of your deeds. But this hadith has to be understood in the context of the other hadith, and there is one word here that would make this hadith not negative at all, which is وَمَا وَلَى, and the good deeds that he likes. And the good deeds that Allah likes are so many, including planting trees and the likes of those deeds. But it means that whatever it is that you do in this life that is not for him is cursed. That whatever it is that you do without this awareness, without being cognizant of him, without being aware of him and his pleasure, is cursed. Or it would be at least a waste of your life. Now, two issues to talk, one issue is the zuhd is not a communal approach to life. Zuhd is an individual approach to life in several ways. One, for the community is commanded to take to pursue the means of power, right? And economical power is of the means of power. And you're not, like you could be a CEO of a company and a zahid. In other words, you will ensure the success of the company, the prosperity of the company, and so on. But when it comes to you, you are, as an individual, a zahid. The second thing is that the Prophet ﷺ كان يسير بسير أضعفهم, like he used to walk at the pace of the weakest of the group. So when he marched, he would march at the pace of the weakest person with him in his company. So let's say a man wants to become a zahid. He can do this without forcing zuhd on his entire family. Keep in mind that the Prophet ﷺ had a different example, and the households of the Prophet ﷺ were meant to be a role model for the rest of us. And keep in mind also that the distance, between him, or the distance between what he wanted and what the mothers of the believers wanted was not huge at all. Was a small distance. But if the distance between one and his spouse is a huge distance, then it can make life rather difficult to manage. Therefore, if someone wants to become a zahid, they can do this without forcing it on their household. And they can encourage this household to come closer to them gradually and prudently. They should do this prudently without any shocking measures. Because, someone may just think that he can change things around overnight. Like he can tell his wife from tomorrow morning, we're not going to eat but dates and bread and this or that. And it certainly doesn't work this way. It doesn't even work for him this way, let alone for others. Because he has to be also prudent in managing himself. فَإِنَّ الْمُنْبَتَّلَ أَرْضًا قَطَعَ وَلَا ظَهَرًا أَبْقَى. For the one who overworks his horse will not cover any distance and will not spare his horse. So that is important. It's important that we do this prudently, but there has got to be a plan. You know, there has got to be a plan for us to get closer to that objective of getting this life out of your heart. And a little bit at a time, certainly certain things will come with age, and they're hard to be, they're not impossible, but they're harder for younger people than they are for older people. But there's got to be like a consistent pursuit of this ultimate goal. The ultimate goal is to get life out of your heart, even if you have it in your hand. But you need to get it out of your heart. In other words, you need to not be excessive in pursuing it, and you need to not be excessive in worrying about it. So you pursue it with moderation, and you don't worry about it. Ibn Uaim reports in his book Al-Hilya that the Prophet ﷺ said, "Inna ruh al-Qudus qad nafatha fi ru'i," the Holy Spirit had breathed into me, or insinuated into me, that no soul will die before it acquires or attains all of its provisions and completes all of its term. So, in the ruh al-Qudus qad nafatha fi ru'i, anna nafsan lan tamut. No soul will die, hatta tastakmila ajalaha wa tastawiba rizqaha, until it completes its term and it attains all of its provisions that were meant for it, that were destined for it. فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَأَجْمِلُوا فِي الطَّلَبِ. So fear Allah and seek provisions from wholesome sources. فَإِنَّمَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ لَا يُدْرَكُ إِلَّا بِطَاعَتِهِ. For that which is with Allah shall never be attained except through His obedience. Because even if you attain it, You're not attaining the blessed wealth. There is cursed wealth and there is a blessed wealth. The blessed one you will not attain unless Allah so wills and unless Allah is pleased with you. So if you want to attain the blessed wealth that will bring about prosperity for you in this life and the hereafter, happiness for you in this life and the year after, then you have to go about it with moderation and only from the purest and the most halal sources. And that will be it for Zuhd. SubhanAllah, Alhamdulillah, Inshallah, and Astaghfirullah, Atubu Alaykum.